Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN. Brought to you by Sapelo Island Birdhouses down on Sapelo Island, Georgia. Now, I am Anita, and I am here today with co-host Ida Creel with Global Sun and Fun Travel and with Doc Beale with Sapelo Island Birdhouses. And we have already been talking about Dubai, which is the kaleidoscope of a city over in the United Arab Emirates. I mean, Dubai is just one of the fastest growing cities in the world and has a very diverse population that is certainly home to many expats from various countries, as well as just a really diverse tourist industry as well. So in a city that is so diverse, I think it's very appropriate that we have found a center that is dedicated to leading the way in cultural understanding and learning. And our guest today, Nasif Kayed, who is the general manager at the Sheikh Mohammed Center for Cultural Understanding, is going to tell us all about what they do to bridge those cultural gaps that we sometimes find ourselves in. Now, Nasif is semi-retired, but he's very, very busy here at the Sheikh Mohammed Center for Cultural Understanding. He, in the early 80s, traveled to the U.S. and made it his home. But now he has taken a very direct approach to the bridging that cultural gap by inviting community leaders, schools, universities, religious institutions, law enforcement. I mean, he's doing all kinds of workshops and personal hands-on experience to help people learn about cultural differences. He now lives in Dubai, and he's making it his personal mission to provide those open doors so we'll have open minds. So let's welcome Nasif to our show. Hello, Nasif.
Hey, how are you, Anita? How are you?
I am doing great. We are so glad to have you on the show. Now, Nasif and I met when I was in Dubai last month, and he was doing a workshop there at the ASSA convention that I mentioned earlier that I was attending, and I actually sat in on three of his workshops because they were so great. So, Nasif, we have lots
Thank
of questions.
So much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you. I mean, because what you're doing is just great. Now, we have several questions for you because Dubai has become, I think, a symbol of tourism and commerce both. It's a place where businesses are successful. Global organizations are setting up offices in Dubai and the UAE, and it's just such a diverse city. But can you tell us a little bit really about how did everything start? I mean, I know Dubai and the UAE has a very interesting history. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, this area here is all known to people as if it's the desert and it's the oil-rich Arabs. But really, the fact of the matter is, late 1700s, there was Arabs, Muslims who migrated from many villages, just like we migrate and make home in any place, just like we started the United States. And the first settlement was late 1700s, was in Beni Yas, which where we found some water and we sat there, and it was two major tribes, Falasi and Falahi. And then from there, we began to spread out and branch out. And so part of that family came about at the tip of the creek, and it became Dubai there in early 1800s. And at that time, it was nothing but fishing and bird diving. And for a long time, we settled for very little and struggled with the weather and the least we could live with until the Lord blessed us with you know, discovering the oil, although we didn't have much oil in Dubai. But when Sheikh Zayed discovered that Abu Dhabi had a good bit of it, he said, we need to unite and we need to really become one nation so we can take care of each other. Otherwise, there is going to be some villages, which is the Emirates, which is like colonies or states, you could say. Mm-hmm. They're going to be very poor. And so therefore, we agreed on uniting in 71. And Abu Dhabi is the capital. Dubai remained to be the trade city on the tip of the creek. Sheikh Rashid, the father of Sheikh Mohammed, who is the Sheikh now, took it upon himself to expand on the trade. And that was the beginning of Jebel Ali Port, which is one of the top ports in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Sheikh Mohammed and his son, he saw the, you know, walking in the footsteps of his dad. He saw that there has got to be another form of income. So his goal was to go after tourism. The advice was, look, there is a lot of cold countries around you, and there is a lot of crazy white people. They like to get tan, so let's make it touristic. So this is where we started, you know, thinking about making tourism, and the studies were to build a great city with beaches and so on and so forth. And that's how it began. Burj Al Arab in 02, Mall of Emirates, Ski Dubai in 04, 05, Farm Jumeirah, and I believe it just simply exploded after that.
It definitely has exploded. But now you mentioned the creek. Now, I know the creek has been instrumental in your history with commerce. So tell us a little bit about that history.
Well, you know, the concept of the creek, that the boats came to unload goods, I mean, along the Silk Route, which is, was all the way as far as China, all the way down Zanzibar, Africa. The concept here is that when they unloaded the goods, camels were also awaiting the goods, and they were picking up goods and bringing goods. Mm-hmm. So it became an exchange of goods. So widen it and deepen it made the ships were able to go inside the creek, and that made the trade even more prominent and more regularly. Rather than every once in a while you get a ship, it became like in a regular basis. And that's when the city was built, on the basis that now it's a trade city. It's no more just waiting for pearl diving, which is 4 months a year, and waiting for just to fish and eat. And that's how the creek became a big part. Until today, the ships go to all over the southeast of Asia and bring goods and take goods that are out of Dubai.
Well, it sounds like really that Dubai really is connected to, you know, to a lot of different countries. And the work that you guys are doing there at the Sheikh Mohammed Center for Cultural Understanding is really all about creating an open door so that people have an open mind. So tell us a little bit about the purpose and just some of the things that you guys do there. Like, what are your most popular programs?
Well, what we did, Anita, is in the old days, the people simply were confused when they came. They were apprehensive. They were a little bit, you know, with a question mark on their face. One of the very first questions they asked us as we were discussing business would be like, by the way, is it possible to ask you why, how do you keep your white dress clean, which is our national dress, the Kandora. And we saw that as we answered that and we said, oh, it's cost effective, it's about modesty, that the people were having many more questions. Why you wear white and the ladies wear black? Why do the women cover their face? Why do you have this four wives thing in this region? So the idea was is for us to develop a program, and the program, the only way to house it was to go to our houses, and that's when we decided in 97, 98 to go to His Highness Sheikh Mohammed. He was not the ruler yet, but at the time, he was a man of good deeds, and he said, look, this is a great program. We'll give you the center, which is where we are now, an old house that was built in 1944, and it became the house to house the people. So when we invite you, rather than take you to my house, you go to our center, Sheikh Mohammed Center, open doors, open minds. The door is open for you to come in any day for a lunch, a breakfast, a dinner, a brunch. We give you a walk in the historical area. You may choose to do a mosque visit. And we sit and over a meal, we discuss any questions. And like you saw at the show in Dubai, you could ask us anything you want. We call the program Open Doors, Open Minds, the freedom to ask.
Well, that sounds great. And I also saw on your website that you do quite a few things with young people as well.
Yeah, we do. You know, everybody wants to know. I mean, Anita, we have like about 7.8 million people now in the UAE, and the majority of them are in Dubai. That's where most of the jobs are, just like New York or Atlanta, Georgia, and the surrounding villages. And for us, really, the people come and they are focused on the dress. They are focused on the sometimes the negativities in the tabloids in some areas. But what we're reinstating here is what this whole entire region is all about, the region of where Abraham and Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them, was, and where Muhammad, peace be upon him, came and retaught the Arabs what has been taught to them by his predecessors of Moses and Jesus, that we are all human beings. Wow. We don't decide our color, we don't decide our gender, we don't decide our status. That, and we never know when and where and how we're going to die.
That is so true. Now, Nassif, I want you to hang on for a few minutes because we need to take a break, and we're going to pick right up where we are leaving off here. So we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN, AM 550 and FM 102.9.